word this morning. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat.
Sounds like a flock of birds. Good morning, First Church.
Good morning.
Well, hi. So I'm standing in today for James. I'm about the same height. Not really. So a couple weeks ago, I was on my way to Kauai, and I got a text from James asking me if I'd be willing to fill in for him on the 18th of February. And I said, sure, I can do that. What's the text? And he said, oh, just wait a second, I'll send it to you. He reminded me that our church is reading through the Bible, and I was like, yeah, I know. I've been gone, but I know about reading through the Bible. And he sent me the text, and I went, oh, this is so much fun. Oh, look at what those texts are. And so you're going to get to take part in this today. So if you think you're here just to listen to me or whomever, you're wrong. There's going to be a chunk of this where everybody that's at home and everybody here in the sanctuary is actually going to do your own homework. Yes? It's a good thing. So, it's interesting. I'm a storyteller. I've been told that when I was about a year and a half, I started talking, and I never stopped. So if you know me, I am Connie. I am one of the many retired pastors here at this church. Being a retired pastor is so much fun. Interesting. I had 5 note cards, and if anybody knows where note card number 1 is, I could use it right now. Just kidding. So I grew up in a very small community, and I grew up where my grandparents, my parents, obviously my school teacher, everybody went to the same church. So the woman that played the piano on Sunday morning or taught VBS was also my 3rd grade school teacher. So it's a small community, and I did not get away with a lot. I tried, but I did not. So the thing that I loved the most growing up was church. And the song I loved the most was Jesus Loves Me. And I know you all know Jesus Loves Me, so why don't you just for fun, everybody, just sing it without any lead, since I'm such a horrible singer. So just start the key for me. Where is my musicians?
For the Bible tells me so, little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me. Tells me so.
How many of you grew up in the church? Like day one, as soon as your mom could get you out of the house and wrap you up? Yep, I thought a lot of you. How many of you learned that song early on? Like, I will tell you, I have spent most of my life in school, studying the Bible, studying the history, the theology, all of those things. But the story that it's always come back to for me is the one of Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Like, just let that rest on you today, like the snow falling outside on the yard, on the lawn. It's the story. And we've been talking about where is Jesus in the story, right? Where is he in the Psalms? Where is he in the Proverbs? Where is he in the New Testament? Where is he in the Old Testament? Now, people who say to me things like, oh, you can't find Jesus in the Old Testament, or you can't find love of God in the Old Testament, I might smile if you say that to me, but inside I'm going to say, well, you're wrong. Because Jesus is everywhere in the book. He's in the book, he's outside of the book, he's everywhere in the story. And today, I think we're going to prove that. We're going to prove that as a group. So hang on to your hats. I'm going to start with a word of prayer, if you don't mind. Lord Jesus, You know more than anyone that I tend to use way too many words. Today I pray that I only use the words that you want me to use. Help me speak for you, speak through me. And I pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen. So, little girl, growing up, church. When I was little, I remember my parents, my grandparents, everybody telling me this story. We had this old white wood church. I don't even know how to explain it, but you've all seen the traditional, right, with the steeple and the bell and everything. By the time I came into the world, it was an old building, and I remember in the summer, we had to open the windows because there was no air conditioning. There was no such thing as air conditioning in the 50s, not in Orient, Washington. And I can just remember watching the bees come in and just kind of fly around, and that was entertaining. In the winter, my dad would be the one that would go over on a cold winter's morning and start the wood stove. So I associate things like bees and the smell of burning wood with Jesus, because those are my earliest memories. Now, I am an educator. I will tell you right now, I never wanted to be a preacher. I always just said, I'm going to be a teacher. But the words that I love to teach the most are about Jesus. And when I learned the song, Jesus Loves Me, I guess this is a true story, standing on one of the wooden pews in the front of the church, my grandma May was leading the music, and they were singing Jesus Loves Me. And I was just belting it out loudly. And just like my dad, I guess I don't know how to follow notes. I don't even know what notes are. I just like, whatever. But I was singing Jesus Loves Me as loud as I could. And I guess I didn't catch it because they went on to the next song, Trust and Obey. And I just kept singing Jesus Loves Me. I believed then that Jesus loves me, and now after 67 years of trying to figure out this book, I'm still hanging on to that solid truth. It's just about Jesus' love for us, always and forever. If you ever have a doubt, just sing Jesus Loves Me. So here's a fun thing I'm going to do. I think... Oh, let's go to my favorite cartoon growing up. How many of you watched? The younger people may not have any idea. So y'all know about him? Hanna-Barbera. Merle, will you come up and help? Because as I just said, I can't sing. But I love music. Blessed Assurance is like one of my life songs. I love music and I love words. And I like to twist things around and sing words to tunes that don't usually go together. So I had to write this for him. Will you help me?
I will. Sing along.
We're going to sing the Flintstones theme with the words Jesus Loves Me. So you have to do two things at once, right? Think and sing without words. We can do this. Jesus. Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible, Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me, no. Now, I gotta say, we have to do that again better.
Oh, better, oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And who wants to come help? Joel, did you say you wanted to help?
Thank you, Joel.
Oh, give, that'd be good. Yeah. Or I'll just shut my mouth and lean.
No mic.
We're just gonna do this for fun. So, if you like to clap, this is one. And at the end, you can't just go, he loves me, this I know. You have to say, yabba dabba doo, right? That's better than, well, ma. Okay, let's do it.
Okay.
Sing along.
Yes, please, loud.
Jesus, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, loves me, this I know. For the Bible, Bible tells me so. Little ones belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Jesus, Jesus loves me. Jesus literally loves me. He really loves me. He really loves me so. Yabba dabba doo.
Well, we may have needed to rehearse that a little bit more, but you get the drift. How many of you have ever sung that song to that tune? That is going to be in your head for the rest of the day. Come back another time and I'll teach you Amazing Grace to the tune of The House of the Rising Sun. Okay, so that's probably why I should have kept my first page of notes. So now, I think in music and lyrics, and I started that as a young child, but the other thing I did as a young child is I started studying the Word. My mom was a Sunday school superintendent. So the hands, I know how you feel, having your mom be the one that's in charge of the discipleship pillar. I had to always learn more verses than anybody else. Like, because I guess it was important to her that I knew those verses. Not because it was important to learn the words, but so I could get the big prizes and then we could put the picture on the wall at her house. But we did a thing growing up called sword drills. How many of you know what a sword drill is? Anybody know what that sword is? What? It's Sting. It's Bilbo Baggins' Sting, the blade that would show them when they were going into rooms with orcs. Thank you. You get something after church, a treat, just because you knew that. A sword drill, I can't believe you guys don't know what a sword drill is. Am I explaining this? So this is what we call the sword of the Lord, right? This is where we get all of our information. This is how we know when we get attacked or things are coming at us. We pull out the sword of the Lord. So everybody has to grab a book. You do not. You do not get to use your Bible apps, Bible Gateway, any of that. What you have to do is get one of these books, and we're going to put up a verse, but not quite yet. Up. The first person that finds the verse and pop... It's okay. Go ahead, pop up and read it out loud. Who said they got it? Okay, go ahead, put it up. I thought somebody already saw it. You have to find it. Okay, Mike, up. Stand up and read. This is called interactive.
And by that will, we have been made holy enough through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all.
Okay, anybody else have a different version? Ready to read? Go. No? Did you all quit after Mike found it? Oh. Nobody has a different version? Okay, Gary. Okay, once and for all. Well, I'm hoping that regardless of... Thank you, Jeremy. If anybody else is just dying to read it out of the NLT, the New American Standard, NIV, anything else that hasn't been read? That was the NIV. Wait. Jeremy's coming with a mic. No, we want you.
For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time.
Perfect. So there's some words there that I, regardless of which translation, are always going to... Oh, you guys, thank you so much. I'm done with that. one of the things I want you to hear was once and for all. once and for all. Jesus has done what needed to be done once and for all. So we've been reading this whole Bible thing, and I was going to have you guys do some work on your own, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to go ahead. So what's our first Bible verse to come up? Psalm 37, 1 through 11. People in this group, get your Bibles out, turn to that psalm, and answer the questions on the sheet that you got when you came in. All right? So you know who you are? People in this middle group, yeah, that's you guys, middle group. I'm back there to, Rick, what do you do with your sunglasses on? I understand. All right, you get the next group. This is the middle and the back section. You get Proverbs, let's pull that up next. Proverbs 10, 1 through 4. You guys got the easy one. And then this group gets the next one, Mark 3, 7 to 30. If you want to work in groups, I'm going to give you exactly 5 minutes to answer these five questions. So if you're at home, here are the five questions. You should have got one when you came in today. If not, we've got them up on the screen. Who wrote it? Who is it written to? Where was it written? Or at what place were they writing? And be specific. What is the main point, and where is Jesus in that story? Sure. Can we go back? So, this is the Psalm 37 group, this is the Proverbs group, and this is the Mark group. And people at home, you pick whichever one you want. These are the verses that James sent me. These are today's reading. So, work together if you want. That kind of makes it more fun. I'm going to give you 5 minutes. So please do your homework. You're probably not going to have time to do this. I'm going to be watching. When you've got all five answers done, be ready. We're going to do a pop-up. If you're reading your Bibles, this is today's work. If you're behind, I'm sorry. Don't be distracted if you see popcorn and pretzels coming around. Those are just to be prepared when you're to get to pop up. Oh if you don't feel like eating this now, please take one anyway and take it home because we were popping popcorn at 8 o'clock. And I don't want to take those home. One more minute. How you doing? Okay, time's up. How did you guys do? I'm thinking the group that was doing the Mark passage probably got done a lot faster than the people that was doing Proverbs, faster than Mark. Psalms, how'd we do? I have treats. The first person in this group that can pop up and answer the 5 questions regarding Psalm 37, pop up now. Or I will start calling on people. Uh-oh. I know names.
What was the question?
Can you answer the 5 questions from your group?
I can answer 3. I wasn't given enough time.
Yeah.
Some of us write really slow.
Okay. I'm sure you think, yeah. My wonderful helper with the mic is going to help have you stand up and read your first 3. Maybe somebody else in that group has the last 2.
That means you guys got to work quick.
Quick, Silas. Answer number 4 and 5. Joel's eating popcorn. It's on. Just talk really loud. Oh, sorry, guys.
Maybe if I just mouth it and you talk for me.
Oh, no, that's not going to be what happens.
Oh, okay. So we have... I'm out, I'm in, I'm out, I'm in. Okay. So we had Psalm 37, 1 through 11. Who wrote it? David. My Bible cheats, so that's how we got that one. Who is it written to? I would say people who have a faith in God. Where was it written? Specific location? I don't know how specific this is, but we figured it was probably going to be somewhere outside, possibly in a field while he was taking care of sheep, maybe.
Yeah, nice.
The main point we did not get to, what do you got for me?
Anybody else in this group get the main point?
Help. Help.
Peggy King has the main point. She's going to read it when Jeremy gets to her with the mic. Oh.
Well, we thought it was written in the Promised Land. And what is the main point is to commit your way to the Lord.
Good job. And what's number 5?
Number 5 is, where is Jesus in it? Well, Jesus is the Lord.
Okay. You get a treat. All right. The next group. Pop up. You know how this works. We got to move it faster. Pop up if you know the answers. Susan, good job. And there's a mic right there.
Okay. Who wrote it? Solomon. Is at the beginning.
Oh, do you want to say what the verse was?
Proverbs 10, 1 through 4. Solomon wrote it. It sounds like it's written to all the people, giving him good advice. And I can't tell where it was written for sure. I guessed Jerusalem.
Good guess. I would think so.
Do you want me to do the other?
I want you to keep doing that. If you've got the answers, give them.
Okay. The main point of it is, don't be foolish and lazy.
Oh, okay.
And where we found Jesus in it was the opposite. Jesus is the wise son who works hard to do his father's will.
Good work. Was that a collaborative, you and Kendra? All right. Last group. You see how this... Okay, good job. Tane. Tane is so ready. He wanted the treat.
So, Mark wrote Mark. This my verses were Mark 3, 7 through 30.
Okay, and what's it about? Or can you answer the five questions?
First one, who wrote it, Mark. And who it was written to was the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. Where it was written, specific location, we don't know, but the setting is in the lakes, mountains, and a house. The main point is Jesus chooses the 12 disciples, and he's accused of working for Satan, but he said a house divided against itself cannot stand. And where Jesus is in it, he was speaking in it.
Good job.
And he was in the Lord.
Yay. Good job. Now, I admit, as a teacher, that didn't feel very fair because you guys said you didn't get enough time. But these guys did their work fast, and they got ready. So next time, maybe we'll have more time to do that. I left the last one for me. Does anybody know what the last passage is for today? Leviticus. So... Micaiah reminded me that one of the things James said when he introduced that we were going to be going through the Bible in a year is that most people are really gung-ho. They get started in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and then they kind of just drop off by, you know, the side, or they skip to the prophets, which are a lot of fun, or the Psalms or the Proverbs. I actually loved going through, one of my majors was Old Testament Biblical Studies. So Leviticus kind of gets me going. I'm not going to read it all today. It's long. But I thought what I would do, being an early childhood educator, I thought I would use some props and see if your senses have been engaged. You know, it's not enough to just listen, which we typically do. It's not enough just to look and listen. Even when we sing, we're really just using, right, we're mouthing, we're using our mouths and our minds and our hearts. But we have some other senses. So let's see. Here they are. Visual, auditory, olfactory. That's not the old factory. That's olfactory, the smell. And then there's taste. So you were all given something to taste. And there's lots of tastes. There's savory, sweet, salty. And then there's touch. And I was going to have my friends, Susan and Kendra, make everybody a ball of Play-Doh so that you could sculpt something from the book of Leviticus. But we decided it'd be better just to let you touch the pretzels and the popcorn. But they're not off the hook. There's retreats coming where they will be making balls. So the reason why I'm doing this is just to show you that the more senses, this is a really good thing to know, the more senses you engage when you are learning a new concept, the more likely you will remember that concept. Is that true, Christy? All you educators? So we do it really well with young children, right? We have them in the sand. We have them doing things. They're touching. They're feeling. They're tasting. Sometimes they're tasting things they're only supposed to be touching. All kinds of things going on. But engaging our senses is not something that just comes out of the 1970s early childhood education books. God knew that. God created us. God knows that we are very sensory beings. Some of us could care less about what we're seeing with our eyes. We'd rather just listen to it. And we have all these different learning styles that engage the different senses. But let's go on. I chose Leviticus 6, 1, 7 to 27 because James assigned it to me. So if you can imagine, I'm in Kauai, it's beautiful, it's 75 degrees, And I'm out on a beach and I'm thinking, Leviticus, what am I going to do about Leviticus? I am not going to read it. I timed it. I timed it three times as fast as I could in four different translations, and it was going to take us too long. So you guys have some more homework. And what I want you to do is I want you to go through the text, and I want you to listen for repeated words. Anybody that's ever hung out with me knows that I make you do this. What are the repeated words? What are the themes? One of them is going to be, just off the top, offering, right? Let's look at this slide that goes next. This is kind of fuzzy, but does anybody know where this is? It's Sinai. It's the Sinai Peninsula. It's where the people with Moses were out in the desert, and they got lost. They quit following God, and for 40 years, they are out in the desert. Does that look like a place that's really lots of good food and lots of water? No, it's a dry and dusty land. That is where this was written. Does anybody know who wrote Leviticus? Moses is credited with writing Leviticus. Moses was from the tribe of Levi, as was his brother Aaron, and the Levites became the priestly tribe. They were tasked with watching the sacrificial system of worshiping God using offerings. And I got to tell you, there's all kinds of offerings. But most of those offerings were, next slide, burnt offerings. And I will tell you, there are details about the offerings. And I don't know about you, if somebody next door to you is barbecuing, do you know it? Can you smell it, right? These are the aromas that went up to God. Did God reach down and grab that meat and eat it ever? No, no. Who got to eat the meat that was offered? The priests. That's how they got fed. Interesting. And people would bring their, if they did something on purpose, well, if they did it on purpose, they usually got killed. But if they did something accidentally against somebody, they had to bring different offerings. And there was offerings for guilt. There was offerings for Thanksgiving. There's all these different offerings, and each offering required a different type of sacrifice. So if you're reading through that book, I'm assuming you've seen the word offering, and you've seen the word smoke. Let's see the next one. I think these are quail, chicken, I don't know, fowl of some kind. But again, you see the smoke and the aroma. Can you almost smell that? Like, is anybody getting hungry? Yeah. I think it's interesting that when you read this, you're going to find out that they had certain clothes that they put on when they were offering the meat. There were things they could not do. They could not touch the blood. If they got the blood on them, they were unclean. Nobody could eat the blood. No, never eat blood. Also, it was interesting, if you had leftovers, you could only have leftovers for one day, and then you had to throw that meat away. Does that make sense? They're out in the desert, right? They don't have their refrigerators or their Coleman coolers. So it makes sense. Now, some people believe that the book of Leviticus was written by Moses, the very simple pattern. And then later on, probably 9th century BC, the Leviticus, the people of the tribe of Levi, came back and filled in some more of these specifics that we see today. One of the things that I thought was interesting when I was reading that was they could never let that fire go out. The fire was perpetual. And it was somebody's job to always make sure the fire was going. And somebody had to always empty the ashes. And the ashes had to be taken outside of the camp. And they, I mean, like, I don't know, who likes to barbecue? Who likes to go camping? What would happen if you never emptied the ashes? You couldn't cook. So there was a regiment just on how important it was to empty those ashes. It's all in here. I'm not making any of this up. But I was thinking about it. So my five questions, can I go, do I have one more slide? Oh, this is the liver lobe. What part of the liver lobe you could have and what part you couldn't have. And then the next one, pita, they actually even have a grain offering. And you could never have any kind of a leavening, no kind of yeast, but you could add olive oil to make pita bread. Mm. So you could have bread and meat. Maybe throw in some grapes, whatever. Here's the thing. I found Jesus in this verse. Well, you guys started talking about it earlier. But this is beautiful. First he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made. Then he said, here I am. I have come to do your will. He sets aside the first to establish the second, and by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Excuse me. Once and for all. And then it goes on to say, and then Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father. If you want to understand the whole book, you have to understand that Jesus loves you. And that Jesus was the high priest that made the sacrifice. And Jesus was the sacrifice. And Jesus was an unblemished, undefiled, perfect sacrifice. So that there never had to be another sacrifice after Jesus. Once and for all. Can you all say that with me? Once and for all. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you today that we can look at your word and we can always find you in it. No matter how complicated or how simple, you're always there. God, I pray that you would enliven in each one of us the desire to read your word and to apply it. Thank you for your love. Thank you for this day. Amen. Do you want to? Oh. What? Right. I was going to sit down. Oh, here's the words. This will be helpful. Please stand.